This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 67. So if you want to turn in your Bible there, we'll get to that in a minute or two. There's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot going on in the U.S. today. And I feel like the Lord wants us to set those things aside just for a moment, not to minimize them, not to disregard them, but to step back, and maybe as you might on a cloudless night, look at the stars. So step back and to have a big picture view. And I pray that as we leave today, we might have a little bit clearer perspective because we've seen a bigger picture view. And so that's my hope and prayer this morning. The Psalm today, 67, is also a song, of course. Remember that the Psalms, the Psalms book is a book of songs. And so Psalm 67 in particular is a prayer song. So it's a song where it's really calling us to pray. And it's a celebration of God's goodness, who he is, what he's promised, and also what he is doing and will do. And so that's where we're going to get some of the big picture this morning. Before we read it, I want to look together at a simple but helpful Bible timeline. On this Bible timeline, you'll notice that it's simple, yes, but it's helpful to see all of human history, all of God's revelation, and what's yet to come in one timeline. In this timeline, the book of the Psalms are written during the kingdom, right? During or near the time of King David. And so we can place ourselves there for while we're in this psalm thinking what happened previously and what's going to happen in the future. This psalm is going to reflect, as you'll see, on the time of the patriarchs, and it's also going to look forward to the time of the Gospels, church missions, and future. Here's a question. Today, where are we on this timeline? Yeah, we're after the Gospels, after Christ, and we're in one of these three, right? Okay, so we're gonna narrow down to that. We're actually in the time of missions. This is the time. This is the time of God's grace in Christ going to all nations. Now, the church still exists. We're not saying the church is not important, but this is referring to the time of the establishment of the church, and now the gospel goes to all nations, and then we have the future. And the establishment of a new heavens, a new earth, a glorious kingdom where God is fully ruler and all is right. We look forward to that day. Okay, let's look at Psalm 67 in light of this. I'll read it for us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Okay. You may notice, if you're thinking about the time of the patriarchs in particular, that this psalm reflects on, it's obvious that there's a few things from the Old Testament that's in their mind as the psalmist writes this psalm. And one of those things is the blessing of Abraham. Remember in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. A great promise to a man without a son. And yet, God. Another time, a little bit later, God gives Moses a blessing that Aaron is to pray over the people. This is a blessing that you've probably heard at the end of church services at times, and it's the Aaronic blessing. says this, number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Do you see how both of those things are represented in this psalm? It's obvious that the psalmist, as he writes, is reflecting on God's promises. And also how God blesses his people. This morning, it's helpful for us, before we get into this too deeply, to consider what is the us here? May God bless us, right? At the time of writing, it was, of course, the nation of Israel. Today, we are grafted in. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a part of God's family. You are in Christ. You are also grafted into Israel and all the promises that exist for the nation, the people of Israel. It's helpful for us because as Americans, sometimes we might think, oh, God bless us in this small sphere, whatever that sphere might be. Does this include American Christians? Of course it does, but it does not include American Christians in isolation. This is a blessing, a prayer. The Bible is a revelation of God for all people. And specifically the us here would be any and all believers in Christ throughout the world, past, present, or future. So what is the prayer asking for? We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 to begin with, and this is a prayer for us. The prayer in verse 1 is asking that God would be gracious. Do we need God's grace? Of course we do. The prayer asks for God to bless us, and also that God's face would shine upon us. I don't know about you, but I also need God's favor and his presence. I need his gracious look into my life. I need him. But there's also a purpose for this blessing in verse 2, and that blessing that is being asked for is not just so that we can be happy and enjoy life, so that our kids can have peace and can enjoy life, but actually the definition here, the point of it is that in verse 2, that your way, God's way, may be known on earth, his saving power among all nations. You are blessed, like Abraham was blessed, you are blessed to be a blessing, not just to your neighbor, although to your neighbor. You are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing to the whole earth, that God's ways may be known on earth. Specifically, his saving power would be known among all nations. So we have to stop and pause on the word blessing, because in today's society, blessing is everything and it's nothing. Do you know what I mean by that? Because we say, God bless them. Please, God, please bless that person. But what do I actually mean when I say, God, please bless that person? It's everything and it's nothing. Very briefly, what is true blessing? When we ask God to bless us, when we ask God to bless other people, what are we asking for? Are we asking for them to have an easy life? Are we asking them for peace and prosperity? Well, yeah, possibly. But deeper than that, and more important than easy living, is that the concept of blessing in the scripture is one of relationship with God. A truly blessed person is one who God walks with. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know the most clear and faith-inducing promise of God is actually pretty short in words. It's the phrase, I will be with you. This is the most faith-inducing, God-driven blessing. God will be with you. Think about Moses. God was with Moses. And when Moses died, Joshua takes over, and he's afraid. And God says to him, as I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. Be strong and courageous. How can he be strong and courageous unless he knows he's blessed? And what does blessing mean except that God is with him? Yes, it does mean at times for someone to be blessed, to have good material things, a good harvest. But it always means that those things are tied to someone being drawn closer to knowing God and to knowing that God is with them. In the New Testament, today even, God with us, God is with us and all true believers in Christ through his Holy Spirit. And so we are truly blessed. If you are a believer in Christ, God dwells within you by his Spirit, and you are blessed because he is with you. You don't have to question it. Now, it's helpful for us to remember it and to remind each other of it, but if you're in Christ, God is with you. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, "An infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. An infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others." That is blessing, that we would know God and that we would live in his presence. But being blessed also carries with it a purpose. Being blessed carries a purpose that's greater than us. We are blessed to be a blessing to the nations, not to hoard our resources or to have a happy life ourselves without doing what he calls us to do. So let me ask you this at the end of this first point. Has God been gracious to you? Has God blessed you? I'm reminded of when, I forget now when it is, but when it's the remembrance of when... what is it? God has blessed me and my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. Right? It's in the Psalms. I've been spending a lot of time in the Psalms lately, so there you go. Has God made his face shine upon you? I'm sure he has. In verses 3 and 5, we go on to the second point, which after praying for us, the psalmist then prays for all peoples. And this is an interesting part, a very interesting part of this psalm, because the lyrics of every song have parts to them. So there's verses and there's choruses, and sometimes there's bridges and there's pre-choruses, right? And so in a song, there are sections. Some sections are meant to be sang again, or at least to be... the music is meant to rise so that you sing higher or you sing stronger, and that typically is the chorus, right? I'm not a musician necessarily, but I would say, based on my understanding of this psalm, that these verses now, verses 3 through 5, is the chorus and maybe a pre-chorus as well. So verses 3 and 5, notice that they're the same verses. You see that? It says the exact same thing. So I would take that maybe as being the pre-chorus. The chorus of the song then is verse 4. "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." But it's couched with this amazing prayer as well. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So if you're singing this song, if our worship team was up here and they were singing this song, this would be when the music, the volume goes up and the emotion goes up. And this is the part of the song that really is kind of the point of the song. The verses support, the chorus is the thrust of what is meant. It's the climax of the song mountain, if you will. As I mentioned earlier, we're stepping back from all of the things around us at the moment and we're trying to catch a bigger glimpse of what God is doing in the world. And I think what I feel strongly I want you to see this morning is that God has a heart for all people, but he doesn't just have a heart for all people. He has a plan that includes all ethnicities on the earth. It includes all ethnicities on the earth. And that doesn't mean, we're not talking about politics here. We're talking about God's kingdom here. God's kingdom will expand and continue to expand and include all nations. And it's happening, folks. It's happening today. Sometimes in our myopic view of the world, we kind of look at the U.S. and we interpret everything from what we see in the U.S., but actually the Lord is doing greater things than we can imagine and that we know of if we're just looking at the news in the States. Do you know that every year there's the annual report of Christianity that's put out, and it kind of summarizes all of what God is doing, you know, based on statistics in the world. And it's put on by the International Bulletin of Mission Research. Now, it's looking at Christianity from a broad perspective, so it's basically anyone who self-identifies as Christian, so keep that in mind. But in the world today, two-thirds of all Christians, self-identified Christians in the world today, are from three continents. Two-thirds of the Christians in the world today are from three continents, being Africa, Asia, and South America. Two-thirds. Two out of every three believers in Christ today, or at least self-identified as believers in Christ today, are not from North America, Europe, or Australia, New Zealand, that area. In the last 20 years, since 2000, the number of Christians in Africa has almost doubled. There have been, from 20 years ago to today, there are 275 million Africans, more Africans that are self-identifying as Christian than there were in 2020. 275 million. Praise God, right? In Latin America, there are 115 million more Latin Americans who would self-identify as Christians than in 2000. 115 million. In Asia, there are 100 million more Asians that would self-identify as Christians than there were in 2000. 100 million. This is why two-thirds of the world's Christians, self-identified as Christians, are from these continents. Because God is doing a mighty work that far outstrips the population growth of those places, let me tell you. God is at work among the nations, folks. And this morning, I'm just excited to tell you about that. And you know, the Body of Christ International is beautiful. And I don't mean just by colors, but by culture. I don't know if you've ever heard of Korean-style prayer. Let me tell you, Korean-style prayer will blow your mind. Because what happens in Korean-style prayer, if we were Koreans here and we said, okay, let's have a time of prayer, there's however many of us here. What happens in Korean-style prayer is that everybody prays out loud their own prayer passionately at the same time. That kind of messes with our Western views of prayer. But God is infinitely powerful, and he is omnipresent, and he can hear all the prayers of all the people in the world at one time. Why can't he hear all of them in one room at one time, right? Let me tell you, when Chinese brothers and sisters pray in Korean-style prayer, you can't help but be moved by the Lord. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, it might sound like chaos to us, but it is beautiful to pray in that style with people who pray and mean it. We've interacted with Asian brothers and sisters who have been imprisoned because of their faith, who have spent time alone in a cell because of their faith in Christ. And it's beautiful. Isn't it an injustice? Yes. But do they see it as something that they want to avoid? No. In fact, one Chinese house church leader was asked about how to pray for the Chinese church. And he said, don't pray that the Chinese church would escape persecution. Pray that the United States and the Western church would experience persecution so they can know the Lord in the midst of suffering and persecution like we do. Do you know that in China, some people have referred to jail and prison as the seminary of the church? Because it's in prison, in a cell, that you really get to know the Lord. If you are a follower of Christ, you're a member of something much bigger than a geopolitical nation. You and I are members of the international family of God, a beautiful mosaic of multicultural, multilingual, diverse people throughout the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So today, there are people all over the world from different nations worshiping the Lord. But the story's not over yet. I know that in the midst of everything going on, there's a lot of talk about end times, and I understand that, and I get it. But Matthew 24, 14 shares with us something from Jesus when his disciples were asking about the end times. So this is a hot topic today. At that time, they were asking, when is this all going to come to an end, right? And one of the things that he said, now he says a lot of things. I would encourage you to read Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 14 is a verse that has changed my life because of the perspective that it brings. And it's this. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. From the mouth of Jesus, the gospel needs to go to all nations before the end comes. Now, we don't know the timing of that, and that's one of the great mysteries of the church. Only the Father knows the timing. But we do know that the gospel needs to go forward to all nations. And all nations here does not mean geopolitical nations. It actually, the word there used is ethnos or ethne in different and in other portions of the Bible where it talks about that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, for example. It's the word that we get the word ethnicity from. And we're not talking about countries. We're talking about ethnic peoples. And so people who are much smarter than me, who have a lot more resources than me, have been studying the ethnic groups of the world and asking the question, are they reached by the gospel? Do they have enough believers among them that they can sufficiently share the gospel with their own people? They would be called reached people groups or reached ethnicities. And then there's unreached people groups or unreached ethnicities who still need people sent to them to cross into their culture to help them come to know the Lord and help establish the church in their own ethnicity. And if you break all the ethnicities of the world up in these kinds of ways, you have 17,000 people groups. Depends on how you do it, but let's just, if the number is 17,000 people groups, ethnicities in the world today, then 10,000 of them are reached by the gospel. Praise God. That doesn't mean that all of those people in those people groups believe Christ, but it does mean that they have sufficient momentum and enough believers to continue to evangelize their own ethnicity. But that leaves 7,000 people groups in the world today who are yet without enough resources, some of them without any witness at all among them to hear the gospel. You and I are part of something very significant in this time in history, which is, and this is very intimately intertwined with the heart and plan of God. What is that that we're a part of that's very significant in history? It's that the gospel, the great news of Christ, is going forward to all nations, to all ethnicities in the world. That's something we have as a part of our mandate as a church, as an international church, that we would continue to cross cultural barriers until all have had opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. This is why Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you. There it is again. You hear that? Behold, I am with you till the very end of the age. May it be that the Lord would raise up more supporters, more prayer warriors, more missionaries, more cross-cultural workers, even if it's here in Park Rapids or here in the States, that would go and be involved in God's plan to reach the nations from Faithbridge, from Park Rapids. May it be that the Lord would continue to raise up more because the work's not done yet. Let the nations praise God. They can't praise him unless they know him. But let them praise him. Let them be glad and sing for joy. And then from verse 4, God has set a day when all will be judged with equality, but he has also guided the nations and his people so that all who confess in Christ can escape his judgment. Last point, a confidence based in God alone. In verse 6 and 7, we have, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Notice there's a switch at the end of the psalm here. What's the switch? There's a switch in tone and in tense. Before, it was kind of future-looking. May God bless us. Now, God our God shall bless us. He will. There's a confidence that is being portrayed in this. And also that the Lord has yielded its increase. Now, because of this, some would hypothesize that this was a psalm that was meant to be sung during the harvest. If we look at it from kingdom perspective, from God's kingdom perspective, the earth has yielded its increase, folks. The gospel is going forward to all nations. It's not to all nations yet, but it's to many, many nations at this point. God shall bless us. But beyond all of these things that we've talked about and intertwined in this psalm is another message. The message is who God is in his person. We don't just think, oh yeah, all right, we can do it. We can go. We can do this. We can do that. We're supposed to love people. Let's just go do that. But actually, woven throughout this psalm are revelations of who God is. I'm not sure if you caught it as we were going through it, but listen, God wants to be known for who he is. He wants people to know him. And in this psalm, we see very specifically and sometimes glimpses of these truths about God. He is a God of grace. He is a God who is present among his people. He is a God of justice. He is a God of wisdom. He is a God who is powerful to save. He has a plan. He guides the nations, and he is trustworthy and good. And as God, he deserves praise from all nations. He deserves to be known, to be praised, to be enjoyed, to be glad and sing for joy, and he deserves to be feared, to be honored for who he is, to be respected for who he is. This psalm was written 3,000 years ago, reflecting on the truth from the past, and moving toward believing what God had planned for the future. Today, from the future, 3,000 years after the psalm was written, we look back and we see that God has truly blessed us. And he did this in the most extravagant way. He came to earth as a baby, entered into our world, our messy world. And on the cross of Christ, he accomplished salvation for all peoples. This is the blessing that the psalmist is waiting for. This is what he's longing for. And we have experienced it, folks. It's already happened. And yet there's more to still play out. But the blessing has come in the face of Christ. If you haven't placed your faith in Christ yet, today is the day for that. There's no reason to delay anymore. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a part of the family of God. You've been blessed to be a blessing to the nations. And along with that, you are blessed that the nations would praise God and be glad and enjoy him forever. So I want to do one last thing today, and this is to invite you, if you're willing, to pray this prayer, this psalm with me out loud. But I only want you to do this if you feel that you can do it wholeheartedly. So we're going to close in just a moment by praying this psalm together as one voice, but I want you to take stock just for a moment. Can I pray it and mean it? And if you can, then join with me and we'll pray it together. If you can't, that's okay. There's no shame in that. Just stay silent and you can hear the rest of us pray it. Join me if you want to, if you agree with this prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let it be. Amen.